Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Trans-Pyrenees Race Number 2, supported by our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin. It's early morning on day 3. Race director David Eyre is waiting for the frontrunners to arrive at the lighthouse at control point 5, with the first three riders having already passed through.
So we are at control point 5 in Fardo Cap Verde, out on the Mediterranean coast. So the sun has just been coming up. We're looking out across the Mediterranean with a lovely pink, orange and blue hue start to the day. So yeah, we're in a very, very beautiful spot. We've had the first few riders come through the control overnight. So Robert Mueller just before 2 a.m. and subsequently we've had James Loudon and Neil Phillips, and we're just waiting for Alexander Kopp now. So it looks like the riders have already turned out and are making their way back to the raid parcours all the way home to Saint-Jean-de-Luz. So we'll be expecting a flurry more of activity here over the next few hours as the riders make their way to the halfway point. But then it's all guns blazing for the trip home.
Shortly after, Cap 14, Alexander Kopp makes it to control point 5.
Well, the sunrise was awesome. I think I had the best time for that. Yeah, sure. I booked a room, and next to the room was a church. Mm-hmm. And the clock from church bells every 30 minutes. And I woke up every 30 minutes. It was so, come on. Thanks for that.
What's your plan for the rest of the day?
Cycling.
It's a good answer.
I think so.
Soon, Cap 30, Julien Roussard, makes it to the lighthouse too. He'd run out of inner tubes tackling the challenging gravel route down to control point 3 the previous day.
I found that as we discussed in the shop and everything is okay.
That's good.
I have time to sleep instead of repair my tire. So it was good. I plan to stop at the same time at midnight, like this night. I will see if there is a pass before or after. Because I will not sleep at the top. I ride and I will see where we will be.
Lukas Franciszkiewicz is next to arrive, and some of those common ultra-distance issues are becoming something to deal with, something to manage.
I'm okay with the sleeping, but my body is, he wants some more sleep, definitely. Starting to feel it. No, I think I'm going to do a bit more longer rest tonight, but let's see how it goes. My knees are kind of exploding at the moment, so not sure what will happen next.
Back on the route, the scale of the race is starting to have an impact, not just on our riders, but their bikes too. Mechanical issues have caused a few riders to scratch to end their adventure, including the pair, Stephen Dalton and Paul Williams. Simon Goddard, Cap 129, is having problems too.
I broke my rear derailleur hanger, and it was the one thing I had on my list that I didn't buy. So now we're on to a fixie. I just managed to get the chain on, and now I've got an easiest possible gear. I'm gonna see how it holds up going over the pass. I've checked out a bike shop, and then I'm just gonna need to figure out what the next step is. It's been it's pretty frustrating, really. Yeah, look, I suppose you come to situations like this and you can choose what you want to do, you know? You're gonna get angry, you're gonna cry, or you're gonna just get on with it. And so I suppose for the minute I've chosen to get on with it.
Over the next 2 days, more and more riders reach control point 5 and turn to head back towards Saint-Jean-de-Luz. They're heading in the right direction, but there are still many challenges ahead, with a long parkour that takes them through some iconic challenging climbs. The good news, though, the sun is out, and the weather looked good for the rest of the race. Jana Kessenheimer, capped 60, has built up a healthy lead in the women's race and is well positioned overall.
Yeah, it seems like my legs slowly get used to it. Yeah, it's better than yesterday. It's insane how this race covers like all seasons. Yeah. Oh, it's so hot. Yeah, and I have like a Polartec base layer and I'm really lazy with stopping, so I'm always thinking, okay, just go, go. Yesterday I felt quite fatigued, like not really in the mood also, but then, I don't know, something switched and now I'm in the rhythm.
James Loudon is still out in front, but after an incredibly fast first half of the race, there are warning signs on the cols of the French Pyrenees.
She felt alright up there. It was just, I just hadn't eaten anything for so long and it all just caught up with me on the one afterwards. Anyway, so I have a bit of tea, reevaluate where I am. I don't think many people will go flying past here tonight anyway. I think that balcony road was really grippy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, just...
As in?
Just like all the time like this. It's not just that my legs are completely shot, but just hard work. Yeah, like when you think that you're almost done. And then it just like kept like another little like 50 meter climb. It was like start going back down another little 50 meter climb.
Robert Muller is chasing hard behind.
Yesterday when I reached the CP3, I was very surprised that I was second. It took me so much time to get to the CP, and then I thought maybe I'm like 10 or 15.
Yeah.
And then I was second. I was totally surprised. Yeah, I don't really have a tactic. I just ride as good as I can, and then I see what the outcome is.
And how are you feeling after so much climbing now?
Yeah, I'm annoyed about the weight on my bike here. So much weight, and I have so many things with me that I don't need, because it's my first time, and I don't have the experience for things I need and what I don't need. It's so beautiful, and the weather, it's so nice. I didn't expect it to be that warm in October here. I thought maybe it's like 10 degrees, but it's so nice, it feels like summer.
While the leading riders head into the second half of the parkour, riders further down the field are now taking on this long stretch of ups and downs too. Nicola Ray has to do some roadside repairs after her jacket got caught in her back wheel.
So I was like, should I pick it up and like run across the other side of the road? I just sat in the ditch and tried to take the wheel off, but obviously I didn't want to take up all the bags, so I just left them on and I flipped it, and then eventually it happened. In the meantime, many passers-by were extremely concerned. And now I'm going to contemplate whether I store any stuff on the back of my bag anymore. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because if I was going downhill, it would have thrown me off. Yeah. So, I might not do that anymore. I think, it's still fine. Just how that was... A slightly interesting experience, but there you go. I'm going to continue now and enjoy this.
Benjamin Chadorn, cap 16, is already thinking about what he'd do differently next time.
So I think, it's hard because obviously the weather's so good, but I got a blow up mattress, but I don't think if the ground's soft, I don't think it's a big deal. My bivy, I've got quite a big bivy that's almost like a tent, so maybe I'd go with something a bit smaller. And then a little bit less kit. So I mean, I've got like, for example, I've got a base layer and the winter jersey. So I'd ditch the base layer, for example. Shorts, I've got two shorts. I don't know, can you do one short? It's a bit, maybe. I just have to try and save a little bit everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
If I do it again. When I do it again.
Andrew Brunton is more concerned with some of the wildlife our riders encounter in the Pyrenees.
On the way up from the start of the second parkour, out of Brotto, There's like, I just heard us crashing through the trees, and I was like, what is that? And then about 10 meters in front of this like, boar just went flying across the road and then into the trees on the other side of the road, smashed around and then ran back across. And I was just like, what's going to happen? And then didn't see any more until today. And they were littered all, I don't know if they were actually proper wild boar or whether they were pigs, but they were all up that climb coming out. Do you know the climb that kind of, at the start of the parkour, they were just everywhere there in the dark. You just hear this. And then as I was like getting out of the saddle, when you're coming like this, the noise from the rubber echoing off here, it sounds like a boar, and like just like, and I was freaking out.
Stephen Kennedy, Cap 129, is riding well on the parkour after travel issues meant a rush to make it to the start line just a few days ago.
I'd recovered a bit, and then last night I had a terrible night's sleep, so yeah, back at my default position of completely knackered. Yeah, the accommodation there wasn't open, so I had to just sleep outside, and it was freezing, so fun times. I'm starting to feel all right now. When the sun comes up, you start to feel a bit better, you know?
Simone Adair, Cap 126, is riding well and has been in second position in the women's race for much of the route.
Yeah, yesterday I had a few issues to fix. That was quite small, slow. I had to change my brake pads at the front. Then I had a huge flat sealant spread on this road down to Bagnères de Luchon. Then I drained my power bank because I wanted to charge my light accu pack only a little bit to come to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot to unplug it. So I'm running out of energy. Yeah, I normally don't have cell sores, but it started now.
Right.
But actually, what I'm excited about are the long distance up downhill. It's so nice.
Yeah, it was a bit like this.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them really much.
Yeah.
So I say to myself, just climb, then you can go down.
As the sun rises on day 4, it's clearly been an eventful night. After leading for most of the race, James Loudon has decided to scratch and end his race early. Knee pain, sickness, the kind of thing affecting many riders as the race enters its latter stages. That leaves Robert Muller out in front, and he quickly builds a significant lead, with Neil Phillips and Alexander Kopp the only riders with a realistic chance of catching him. Race coordinator, Andrew Phillips.
They're all in fairly good shape, considering. Robert Muller is really unfazed by what's going on around him. He doesn't have a solid plan day to day, hour to hour. He just rides until he's hungry and then buys food, rides until he's tired and then he sleeps. He doesn't know what Cole's coming next. I think he found out that Tourmalet was coming up from us. So he knows the names when he gets there, what cyclist doesn't, but he says it's a surprise for him at the bottom of every climb. Then Neil Phillips knows exactly where he is. He's ridden a lot of this before. You know you're going up Tourmalet next, and you know that's no easy feat. Then Alex Kopp is kind of somewhere between the two, maybe. They've got Salura and Obisk, two massive climbs. After that, they're the sort of that's the end of the big named ones. But they've still got a lot of climbing to do after that. The final 90k or so of the parkour still has 3,000 meters or just over of climbing on it. And then once they leave the end of the parkour, they've got about 80 kilometer run into Saint Jean de Luz, and that will be a lot faster.
Day 5. Ennis Ogilvy and Izzy Falour lead the pairs race and look well set to make it to the finish line first. How are they feeling as they approach the last phase of the race?
Very good. Want to get some food in me and coffee. Better. just a bit hungry at the moment, to be honest. Other than that, I feel good. Like, legs feel fine.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
Initially, we sort of said, well, maybe like 5 days would be all right, but then I forget that this back leg is actually pretty brutal. But
yeah.
I reckon we can make it San Juan de Luz maybe for 3 or 4 tomorrow. Then we sort of backloaded it, had a pretty easy first few days, so I don't think it should be too bad.
The leading riders are expected to reach the finish line at some point today. A team of volunteers are waiting for their arrival.
Hi, I'm James Illman. I'm the Finnish CP manager at this year's Trans-Pyrenees race. So we're on the seafront at Saint-Jean-de-Luz in France. And yeah, it's a beautiful morning. There's been mist overnight, but it's lifting and the sun's coming out, and our first finisher is probably only half an hour away.
Yeah, so you guys have got this caravan set up here, which is the finish. Can you just tell me a bit about it?
Well, it's a sort of slightly antique caravan, I guess you'd call it. It's an old cafe. It's funny, people have been taking photos of it all yesterday because it looks kind of retro. We're in a car park overlooking the sea, beautiful view. I mean, it's got to be one of the best checkpoints in an ultra race, hasn't it? I've done quite a few ultra races over the years I kind of wanted to see it from this side of it and give something back as well, you know. You rely a lot on the volunteers to run these things. It's nice to be on the other side of it and have some of the atmosphere, I guess, without the stress of the race is quite nice.
With Robert Muller having a 100-kilometre lead, the race seems over. But not before some last-minute drama. He decides to get some rest before taking on the final stretch. A short power nap turns into a full night's sleep, and Neil Phillips is gaining ground. But there's too much to do. After 4 days, 6 hours, and 3 minutes, Robert Muller rides back into St. John de Luz to win the second edition of the Trans-Pyrenees race.
Hi. So what's my position?
You don't know what your position is at all?
No.
You just won.
I won!
You're number one.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. I slept for 8 hours last night because I didn't hear the
congratulations.
Alarm. I wanted to sleep for 3 hours and I woke up after 8 hours. Yeah, now I'm happy that I still won. Because after I woke up and I realized it's 7 in the morning already, I wanted to be here at 7 in the morning. So I wanted to start again at 2. So 5 hours maybe that I'm here at 7 when the sun is coming up. And then it was already 7 and I couldn't believe it. But the good thing is now I'm feeling quite good. So 8 hours of sleep can be very good. So now I could go on.
Do you want to ride back?
No. But I feel good now.
Robert was a late entry and had to hire a bike after arriving with mechanical issues, which makes his performance even more impressive. He decided to take part after some encouragement from this year's winner of the Transcontinental race, Christoph Strasser.
The last 2 years I did many races against him. And I was in his podcast 4 times. And we chat sometimes. And I saw him doing the Transcontinental and watched it. And then I thought, maybe I should try this as well. And it sounds good. Yeah, and when he heard that I will do this, he thought it's very good for me to do this. And he wrote me, I have everything you need for a race like this, and he's sure I will be very good.
My name is Christoph. I'm this year's winner of the Transcontinental race. Robert was a very strong road racer a lot of years ago. And when the pandemic was the reason for a lot of races to be cancelled, he entered ultra cycling and he was immediately one of the strongest. I did a race around Austria 2 years ago. I took first place and Robert was second. And in all other races, in ultra races, he entered, he finished on the podium. And I think the greatest achievements of him were this year's win at Race Across the Alps. And 2 times he also won the Ultra Cycling Dolomitica, which is about 700 kilometers. And he did it in the unsupported category and was faster than all the supported racers. When he traveled to the Trans-Pyrenees race, his bike got damaged, so he had to change to a rental bike just a few hours before the start. He managed all these problems and still had such a strong race, so I just can send him a very huge congratulations, big respect.
Neil Phillips arrives at St. John de Luz in second place after 4 days, 7 hours, 58 minutes of consistent riding.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. I don't know, it's second here, second Transcon. I don't know which ones. I'm happy with this one, I think.
Mm-hmm. What do you think went right?
I don't know, I just kept it steady. Kind of just rode my own kind of pace with it. A load of luck, a few people falling around.
Anything that you learned on it?
I need to practice not sleeping. But I had a lot of time by myself and kind of thinking and riding and taking it all in.
Alexander Kopp makes up the podium positions, and then later, in the early hours of the morning, Jana Kissenheimer arrives at the finish line to win the women's race in 4 days, 22 hours and 30 minutes. She's also the sixth finisher overall.
Well done.
How are you feeling?
Tired. I think I had 24 hours on my bike now.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Yeah.
It's the first one, then.
I had it in my mind for quite a long time now, so... Yeah, I was on the first days, I was tracking Simone a lot. And then at some point I thought, okay, I'm more focusing on Moritz now.
Yeah, and sixth overall.
Yeah, didn't expect that. Yeah, can't believe what my legs just did.
The following day, Izzy and Innes ride into St. John de Luz to win the pairs race.
Nice to come back and not ride into any animals along the way. I guess actually, I'd end up having, I suppose, a couple of health issues and things like that for the past 2 or 3 years. And with TCR, TPR being postponed, actually wasn't entirely sure if I'd be able to do this kind of stuff again, whether or not it'd be sensible. Even trying to get the doctor's note for this thing was a bit of a mission. Nice to see that I can still do this stuff and actually fit and healthy enough to finish one of them too.
How was it in the end to race as a pair then, versus solo? Did you have any...
I had a great time. I had a draft. I had my luggage carried for me. Did a bit of the shopping. I did minimal navigation.
No, it's been good. We do a lot of the stuff at home for fun anyway, so it's not too different.
The mountains are tough, but incredibly beautiful. Le Parasol, Dusselur, Der Bisque, and many more. As more riders cross the finish line in St. John de Luz, there are plenty making their way across the mountains in their own time, riding their own race. They stop to take in where they are and what they are doing. Karol Sikowski, Cap 144.
When the time come out, it's just amazing, and I can't miss any opportunity to take some pictures, so I don't mind losing 20 minutes of my time. This beautiful valley with this sun shining on the very highest ray, like a range, and it's, everything is like purple, just amazing. You know, the thing is, I never wake up so early, so for me such a race is just a chance to see this landscape and like a difference from different perspective. I want it to end, you know? So I think I'm gonna push tonight, pace myself. And yeah, hopefully it will go to the end, but yeah, it's beautiful. That this climb this morning was just great. The Père Sourde is beautiful. And, with the sunrise and everything is just good. But I'm just thinking it's my Sunday ride and going for a long ride. Take it day by day, basically.
With St. John de Luz on the horizon, riders tackling a trio of climbs begin to reflect on their journey so far. There is plenty of riding to do, but also the end is in sight.
It's funny because when you get to the Mediterranean Sea, I had all kind of swords everywhere, and then it kind of disappeared on the way back when you turn around and face west. And then it was just pure concentration. So it was really fun going through Spain because it was another country and everything. Now I'm in my home country and I really want to get to the end, but it's another kind of concentration. It took me a lot of energy to get to the Mediterranean Sea, and it's taking even more energy to get there, but the final point is this way, so I'm happy.
Another rider enjoying the challenge has sights set on the finish line.
Well, the reason I did this was I wanted to see how far I could go on a physical challenge, because I'd done a few long things, no ultras or anything. But the things that you discover are not necessarily that. It's a whole lot of other things. So I've made it this far, and I will make it to the end before the cutoff. So I've proved to myself I can do this. I can go this far. But it's the other things that when you make mistakes, you've got to re-strategize and reset your plan and move forward again. Because we all make mistakes.
Oh, it's a great adventure. I take the registration for it for my 50th birthday, and I had to wait now for over two years. Yeah. So now I'm 52. But it's my greatest adventure in life. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's very amazing. Yeah.
Julian Gravar, Cap 66, is almost at the finish line.
Have you managed to get a sticker of your grandparents up on every col then?
Of course. Yeah. I sticked on most of them. Only the ones that, I don't know why, like, didn't make any... Well, when I was in a hurry, so sometimes I was like, yeah, sorry for that one. one out of two today. But yeah, most of them I got stickers, really. So yeah. Mission is done. So nice. This is done, and it's a good way to make concrete the fact that we, like, if someone's not here anymore, it doesn't. He is still somewhere in ourselves, in our thoughts. And each time I'm just climbing those home paths, I just see the small sticker, and it's just a wink.
As more riders start to arrive at St. John de Luz, another common talking point emerges. The final climb of the parkour. Long, steep, and rarely mentioned until now. Col de Bagagui. For Cap 115, Ricardo Parinha, there are bigger reasons to conquer this daunting last col.
I knew it was the last one, and climbing got pretty super tough. And then kind of thought about Rab, and I thought, so Rab is a friend who died a few weeks ago at 37. So he was quite an influential Scottish rider. And
is this Rab Wardle?
Wardle, yeah. And then you know, he had just won Scottish mountain bike champs. We all raced mountain bikes together, and you know, been on holiday, climbing coals, and doing all these things. And he'll really be missed. And I've been doing this race for Rab, Tiny Changes charity. So I was just kind of thinking about Rab in that moment. And his family, and the amount of suffering like they're probably going through, and it didn't really compare to the suffering, you know, that I was. Yeah, my suffering was just minimal compared to that. So I just kind of dug deep and got over that call and just thought about Rab, and that one was kind of for him. Yeah, it's quite emotional, but anyway, managed to take a photo at the top and just say that one's for you, Rabulous, because bikes are good.
Midnight on day 7 marks the official end of this year's Trans-Pyrenees race. This race of choices is defined by the decisions made out on the road and the gravel. When to rest and when to press on. How far to push your body and your bike. But choosing to be here, to scale the Pyrenees and be part of this community, that's the best choice of all.
We are at Bar O Spot down on the beach, just along the coast in Saint-Jean-de-Luz. So we are here for the finishers party. It started just a few minutes ago. It's going to be running for the next 5 hours, and hopefully we'll get to greet a few riders coming in, sneaking in before the GC cut off at midnight. I think the weather has played a part. I think if we'd been riding this in driving rain, it would have been a very different experience for everyone. But they got to see the Pyrenees at the absolute best. So gorgeous sunshine, like light breeze just to keep you cool, and then you can actually focus on just pedaling away and riding your bike. And another thing is actually the sense of kind of camaraderie and sportsmanship between the different riders as well. It felt very much like everyone was riding their own race, and they were really happy to be here, and it wasn't so much a competition with everyone else but a competition with themselves to solve problems, to ride fast, to make it to the finish, and whatever happened along the way happened. And I think that kind of positive attitude and like real sense of community has been really, really nice as well.
Coming here tonight and taking part in this party. It's amazing to see this many people here at the finish. Wanted to start with a massive congratulations to everyone who's finished as well. Fantastic. It's been a really exciting race to watch. It's been a really exciting race to organise, and from what we've heard from you all out on the road as well, it's been a really exciting race to take part in as well. So really, really appreciate you all coming down, like joining in, playing a part in it all. So yeah, massive thank you.
Thank you to our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin.